What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Brayden Gall. And by the way, Chase and Teron Davenport, that's Chase and TD, of course, coming up, I believe that's noon to 2 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, of course, live from Baltimore. Teron, welcome to the show. I don't know who decided to allow Chase McCabe to go to Baltimore unsupervised without a chaperone, but are you going to be in charge of his behavior when you're in Baltimore?
Yeah, that's why I'm submitting a request for an increase in funding. I need to be paid for my additional role of supervision.
Yeah, you didn't think you were going to be a babysitter this weekend, did you? But that's how it goes. All right, so I saw you break down, and check out Teron. This is what I love about Teron's Twitter account. Check out his Twitter account. He did a little quick breakdown, I think it was yesterday, and about how to attack this Ravens rushing attack. And listen, if you know anything about triple option football in general, it's always about gap assignment and discipline and using your eyes and all that good stuff. But you had some really interesting thoughts about this, and whether it's Kamale Correa lined up, sort of kicked out at an angle on the edge, whoever is responsible, whoever that guy is, who is responsible for quote unquote taking the quarterback in those plays, needs to be physical with Lamar Jackson. And that's one of my biggest points. If you want, you got to set the tone early, and you got to hit number 8, and you got to hit him all game long so that he starts to think about stuff. I don't know how easy that is to do, Teron, but it feels like that's where you should start if you're a defensive player.
Yeah, that is where you should start. And you have to get hard legal hits. I want to make sure we emphasize legal because, you know, the objective is not to hurt anybody. But if you notice in that breakdown, what allows the outside linebacker or defensive end, however you want to put it, what allows him to really focus on hitting the quarterback is an additional layer of edge contain or edge setting by the DB, which in this case was Logan Ryans.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, you're good. You're good. It sets up different things. You know, obviously, they will say, okay, you could pass off of it, but, you know, the thing that a lot of these people who are chiming in saying this don't realize is that these are athletes who are capable of having two assignments on play. So I think we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to ultimately give, you know, if they're going to stop Baltimore's rushing attack, you got to give yourself a chance. And by giving yourself a chance is, you know, setting the edge, plan your assignment. That at least gives you a chance. Not to say that you're going to stop it, because we saw last week with New England, you know, they were, it's not like New England was out of place. Those guys were in place. They just couldn't stop it. But at least when you're in place, you give yourself an opportunity to stop a play like that. And Tennessee needs to be in a position to stop the play. Vrabel has, his whole career has been that, being where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there, setting the edge and then going from there. He got to get those guys to truly buy into that this game. And I mean for 60 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the message that is going from the coaching staff to the players, is do your job. And it's interesting because it's do your jobs, because plural, because in this case, there are things that could change. You know, Lamar could could switch it up, you know what I mean, and be really good throwing the ball as well. So they have multiple roles that they have to fulfill, and it's going to be a tough assignment.
Teron Davenport joining us here on Morning Drive. So obviously the Patriots did not have the personnel to take advantage of sort of the areas of weakness that the Titans defense is exhibiting right now, which is sort of lack of health in the back end. And, you know, the Chiefs, for example, scare the heck out of me with their weaponry, and they threw for a billion yards. It's why the Saints took advantage. It's why Deshaun Watson and Nuke Hopkins eventually took advantage of the fourth quarter a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if Baltimore's got those type of weapons. They are going to attack you with those tight ends, and they're very good in those positions. But am I crazy to think that the talent for the Titans defense is uniquely qualified with the way Daquan Jones has played, with Jarrell Casey and Jeffrey Simmons, their ability to clog up the middle, with the linebackers' abilities and corner and safety's versatility? Vaccaro can step into the box as well. I feel like they're uniquely qualified from a personnel standpoint to actually really give this rushing attack a little bit of a challenge. Am I crazy to think that?
No, you're not crazy, because the thing is, and those guys you mentioned, Simmons, Casey, and Daquan Jones, and man, every chance I get to say Daquan Jones is absolutely balling, I'm going to say it, because that guy does not get credit for what he's doing. So when you look at those three guys, between those three guys, you have three guys that could two gap if you want them to. So that makes it a lot easier to set the edge. Like, I'm not saying have your three guys two gap, but I mean, you can have multiple guys doing it, and that will make it easier four guys on the outside to funnel things back inside, and then you could have, you know, guys like Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown coming down and collapsing on those interior gaps too. So definitely they're suited for stopping the run. And the thing that I also think is really good about this team is when they go big nickel or three safety look, Monty Hooker's a good tackler. You know, Kenny Vaccaro is playing really well also, and you can have Byard there with his ability to play center field. Now you have a single pole safety, and you could be confident with that single pole safety because of the inability for receivers other than Marquise Brown to work their way down the field. Now, that being said, you will still see a guy like Mark Andrews run those seam routes, and that's somewhere that Lamar Jackson really likes to go. So you have to take note. You know, they go 13 personnel, as Kenny Vaccaro told me last night, or yesterday rather, you are able to go 13 personnel, give 11 and 12 personnel looks because of those tight ends and their versatility.
Yeah, those tight ends are a big part of what Baltimore likes to do. I think they probably were if not the most productive tight ends in the National Football League because of how they run their offense and under Greg Roman. Looking at the Titans offense, now we know Derrick Henry has to get the ball, you know, 30 times again. And, you know, whether that wears him down or not, I don't know, but that has to be the focal point of what they do.
Yeah.
But also, Ryan Tannehill, he has to produce something in the passing game in order for this to work, for them to continue to move through the playoffs, because not many teams can get through the whole playoff without, you know, showing some resemblance of a passing game.
Yep. No, that's 100% true. And expect the Ravens to go out there and focus on stopping the run. That being said, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for these receivers to make plays. In fact, Earl Thomas said that if they're able to make it so Ryan Tannehill is the guy that has to make plays to win, he said that works in their favor. So, hey, there goes a challenge to the passing game. And I think, you know, you're right about Derrick Henry and having to run the ball a lot. And here's the thing. There's two games. If you go back and watch that 49ers game and then watch the first Browns game, Nick Chubb and Raheem Mostert were able to get out there in the alley, and they got busy. Both of them had huge rushing days against the Ravens. So I think that's something that kind of plays if they're able to do that. But, I mean, yeah, the passing game has to happen. And the thing that's so interesting is Wink Martindale, the DC, he loves to send pressure. But behind that pressure, they use a lot of man. Like, they go a lot of zero blitz, you know. And with that, you have to be able to make plays quickly in the passing game, because that pressure's coming, because they're outnumbering your guys to protect. So when you have Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, and Marcus Peters behind them, that's a good opportunity for, you know, Ryan Tannehill and that passing game to take up a challenge against a really good group.
Well, and there's a reason a lot of people go right at Marcus Peters. I mean, he makes plays, but he also gives up a lot of plays as well. Teron Davenport joining us here. I just try to describe the differences, because the Patriots were built on the back end as well. A lot of their investment came in their secondary, which is a new trend you're seeing in the NFL, where teams are building from their back end and using pass coverage as the place that they invest, even though we always traditionally think of a great defensive line as a way to stop a passing attack. So maybe compare and contrast what the Patriots' scheme is and how they're built and what they did, because they, I think they actually decided to let Derrick Henry run the football, and it just backfired because he was too good. How different personnel-wise, strength and weaknesses-wise, scheme-wise, is this Baltimore Ravens defense going to be compared to what they saw last week?
Yeah, last week they used a lot of two safety looks, and you know that takes an extra guy out of the box. And anytime you do that against Derrick Henry, it's not going to result in good things. But as far as how they match up, I think across the board, the Ravens have a better secondary, just because, as I mentioned, those three corners. I mean, you got two, you know, all pros, in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. And Jimmy Smith is no slouch himself, but I think the key to all of that is Earl Thomas and what he's able to do against the run, against the screen game, also playing center field. He's one of the best safeties in the league. So I think he's the wild card for them. And I think, you know, the scheme has a lot to do with that too, because like I said, they go a lot of man defense, and they send pressure, and they force you into a bad decision. And Marcus Peters is an absolute ball hawk. So I think that's the main difference between the two. But here's the thing. Peters, he reminds me a lot, if you remember, Asante Samuel, where he like you said, he gambles, right? And he makes his living off of jumping routes. So I wouldn't be surprised to see play action, especially being as though A.J. Brown has established that he's really good on that slant. Play action, slow go seam, and I think that could lead to a big play. And with that play action, the reason why I mentioned that is because that gives you max protection.
Yeah, they're going to this defense reminds me so much of Seattle's defense. You know, when they had players littered on that defense and they were aggressive and they can play man-to-man, or they can play this sort of man-zone type of defense, and they never really truly left themselves exposed. You know, I think what it's going to truly boil down to for me is how does, you know, Dean Pease, you know, match up against Greg Roman? And I'm not just talking about the first quarter, because, you know, people are going to, I'm pretty sure the Titans are going to make plays in the first quarter. It's just going to happen. That's just how it's going to be. Oh, Baltimore is going to make plays in the first quarter. It's the second, third, and fourth when teams settle in. Now what does, you know, Dean Pease do to that offense? Greg Roman has been known to switch it up. Dean Pease has been known to switch it up. But the problem here is that Dean Pease is lacking the personnel because of injury. That's going to be the matchup for me that I want to watch throughout the game, not just in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. For me, when I look at that, as long as the Titans could get it to the second quarter or second half with the score being close, I think it favors them. And it's just because of how good they are in the second half rushing the football, right? And it's just like a part of the formula for them. Go in, call tails, win the toss, defer, keep the game close, get the ball back in the third quarter, and take the lead. That's just, it seems like that's what they do week in and week out. So I think when you look at that, it definitely favors the Titans. But you're right, Pease is a bit limited. But I will say Tremaine Brock, he made a really good play at the end of the game to force that ball up in the air so Logan Ryan could intercept it.
Teron Davenport joining us here, man. We do appreciate your time. Safe travels to Baltimore. That's why we're talking to you today. I know you're traveling. And then, of course, you'll be up there with Chase from noon to 2 p.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Baltimore, live from Baltimore, talking Titans and Ravens. Thank you so much, man.
No problem. You got it. Appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure talking to the all-time leader of the Ravens and Titans receiving corps.
Oh, well, thank you, Teron.
I thought he was talking about me for a second there. Thanks, TD.
All right.
I was like, where was he going with this? I've never led anything. Speaking of your career, I want to get your thoughts on these two, and I need to pin you down on something, as well as maybe reminisce a bit. We'll do that when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.